Actually, I think most people who don't have a lot of knowledge of some critical academic work on the biblical text may say that, they'll look at the plain sense meaning of the biblical text, and it is fairly obvious when one looks at it that way. But then some scholars mark it up a little bit with a lot of various arguments about why certain texts aren't really relevant to committed homosexual unions. And of course, they'll try to knock out the Sodom text and the Levite at Gibeah, and then they'll say that the Levite, because it's only rape, and then they'll say the Levitical texts only have to do with perhaps purity rules and aren't really talking about moral issues or don't deal with committed relationships or only talking about cult prostitution. And then they'll argue that there's no history of interpretation that would construe any of these texts otherwise, which is, of course, also false. And then they'll argue Jesus said nothing, and Paul was only thinking of homosexual cult prostitution, or only thinking of exploitative forms of relationships, or that arsenokoitai and malakoi in 1 Corinthians 6:9 do not really encompass all male-male sexual unions. So they will go by text by text and argue that they don't apply in one way, shape, or form. The three real main arguments that are brought forward to deny the relevance of the text can be narrowed down to the exploitation argument, that these texts are only dealing with particularly exploitative forms of same-sex intercourse, or the biblical author simply had no conception of a committed, loving, homoerotic union, so it doesn't apply. The second main argument that is made, is, of course, is the orientation argument. They had no concept of some sort of innate, exclusive attraction towards persons of the same sex in antiquity. This turns out to be false, but that is how the argument goes. And so, therefore, we have to have, with this new knowledge, we have to change our understanding. And the third main argument is the misogyny argument, namely that the real reason why the biblical authors were primarily opposed to homoerotic practice is that they wanted to keep women down, figuratively and literally, that same-sex erotic unions upset the hierarchical balance of men over women in sexual relations. And really what's happened is, even within the church, I think the exploitation argument is dying down because there's so much evidence in antiquity that there were committed, loving, homoerotic unions, and that the reasons for the opposition by the biblical writers would transcend concerns merely of exploitation. The orientation argument is probably the one that still has ascendancy in the church today, but it doesn't really have it in the academy much anymore, because even scholars, main scholars who support committed homosexual unions and write in favor of it, a couple of them have argued that the knowledge of orientation as we have it would not have made a difference to the biblical writers.